It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In London yesterday, President Obama and British Prime Minister David Cameron once again demanded that Libya's longtime leader step down. But that's not a simple matter. Muammar Gaddafi and his family have run Libya for four decades, and their departure could create a dangerous power vacuum. NPR's Martin Costi reports on the challenges ahead if Libya does see Gaddafi go.
The rebels already have some on-the-job training running Libya, or at least running eastern Libya, which they now control. So far, they've been keeping people happy with money. At this bank in the city of Benghazi, people line up to collect their government salaries and pensions. Some of the dinars still bear Gaddafi's smiling face, but the money's welcome nonetheless. Nasser Musari is a policeman.
Thank God we do get paid. I'm receiving my full salary, with some delay, but it's okay.
The money is coming from the provisional government here, called the National Transitional Council, which tapped into cash reserves of the local branch of the central bank. And they're not just paying salaries. They're providing small monthly stipends to the unemployed, a stipend that a lot of people are trying to get as a kind of revolutionary bonus. Still, not everybody's pleased. Screw the revolution, says this man as he stomps out of the bank in apparent frustration. It's the kind of sentiment that the rebels are trying hard to avoid. One staffer in the rebels' finance office says their mantra right now is don't rock the boat. They want to keep the money flowing and the economy working, much as it did under Gaddafi. But the moment Gaddafi is gone, they say, they'll activate the plan.
The council's ready. We are standardizing the plans for all over Libya.
Hassan El Droy is a member of the National Transitional Council. He says the council is ready for Gaddafi's departure. But when you ask him about the key elements of the plan, for instance, how long before elections are held, he won't say. In fact, it's not entirely clear that he's seen the plan.
The spokesman will do it. We'll tell you about that.
Okay. I just want to know if you know the plan, if you, the council, know the plan.
The spokesman will tell you if we know or not.
Oh, all right.
All right?
The council spokesman says the plan's details are secret because rebels don't want Gaddafi targeting crucial buildings and people. But broadly speaking, he says, the idea is to form local committees, which in turn will pick delegates to form some kind of new national congress. Kanakis Mandalios, a Greek businessman who's lived and worked in Libya most of his life, says one of the most urgent issues for the new Congress will be long-standing regional tensions.
There is a sensitivity between the West and East due to the distribution of budgets.
Eastern Libyans have long resented what they see as Gaddafi's favoritism toward the West. They say more oil money goes to Tripoli and people there are better off. Rebel leaders play down this regional resentment, but Mandalia says the rebellion has contained a strain of factionalism, and it's something the new Congress will have to deal with. Political science professor Zahi Bashir Mugherbi says whatever form the new government takes, much of it will have to be built from scratch.
The Gaddafi regime created an institutional vacuum in this country. Nothing was institutionalized.
If Gaddafi falls, there may also be some more immediate concerns. Mustafa Garyani is a businessman from Tripoli who's now in Benghazi working on keeping basic supplies flowing to people in eastern Libya. But he says eastern Libya won't be the problem.
We worry more about Tripoli and about the area that's still under Gaddafi occupations, and they're facing a much harder hardship than we are here.
Basics like gasoline are in short supply in Tripoli, and things could get ugly there. There's also considerable potential for violence and score settling in a city where guns are common. But the Rebel Council spokesman says the plan doesn't call for any kind of security help from foreign peacekeepers. He says Libyans should be able to handle security themselves. Martin Costi, NPR News, Benghazi, Libya.